Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We just spent the break debating where we're going to send all the kids that we don't have to school. Sounds like there could be some private school youth on the Grant and Danny radio program. This is probably a terrible take. I just can't see paying more than I do in taxes. My kids are going to public school, my friend.
I get it. Private school has gotten real expensive real quick. I mean, really expensive.
What about Bill Rowland? Are we looking at St. Albans?
We can look from afar. I could save up for years and maybe afford a year.
That would be nice. Let's get to your Beltway Blitz and Chris Russell getting us started talking a little hockey. Slasherini High School, public or private for you? What'd you do?
Oh, there was no way I was going private. Could you imagine me in private school? Come on. Get out of here.
I actually can't imagine it, believe it or not.
I could see you in your little outfit, your little blazer every day, walking down the street with your khakis.
The tie permanently tied.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, there was no chance that was happening. No chance whatsoever. And there's even less of a chance that my kids are going to private school. Get out of here.
Chris Russell with us, presented by Dominion Jewelers, custom engagement rings and jewelry in the heart of Falls Church. They make it beautiful. You make it yours, DominionJewelers.com. Russell, how'd they do it last night talking Capitals?
From start to finish, they laid the lumber. They hit the Tampa Bay Lightning with a couple of 2x4s, 4x8s, and every kind of piece of wood that you could possibly imagine from start to finish, 39-19 in hits. All of them were clean. Brooks Orpik, Tom Wilson, Alex Ovechkin. Of course, I worry a little bit about Ovechkin, that open ice illegal, by the way, hit by Girardi. That should have clearly been called a penalty. I think he got his bell rung. Alan May thought maybe, and I want to be careful. I'm not trying to play doctor on the radio. Maybe more than just getting his bell rung there. He only played 16 and a half minutes, even though he took the same amount of shifts as Kuznetsov. Certainly something to keep an eye on. He was very short with the media last night, under a minute. So certainly something to keep an eye on how he skates tomorrow night, early especially. But to me, the physicality that they took, and then the passing. We talked about this yesterday, guys, when I was on with you. They were not crisp in the three games that they lost. And the two goals, the Oshie goal from Backstrom off the half wall on the power play, boom, on the one-timer, and then the Chandler Stephenson behind his back, behind the goal, to Devontae Smith-Pelly, setting up those two goals. The crisp passing that wasn't there in games 3, 4, and 5 was there for game 6, and that's how they won.
Russell, you look ahead to game 7 now. You called the TJ Oshie goal in the slot. Tip of the cap. Congratulations. Call your shot in game 7 as to who's got to do something big for this group.
Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to say it's got to come down the middle. So I'm not going to give you one guy, but I'm going to say it's got to come from Kuznetsov, who I thought was a little sloppy early last night, despite whatever he wound up with, 4 or 5 shots on goal, or Backstrom. And maybe I guess you could extend that to Lars Eller, who's been sort of invisible since games 1 and 2 of this series. So I'm going to go right down the heart of the Capitals lineup here, where they tried to bolster this lineup, and they've done a pretty good job of over the last year, year and a half. That's where it's got to come from. And, of course, Holtby, I forgot to mention him as part of the big reason why they won last night. I mean, pitching his first bagel of the year, not the Capitals' first shutout of the year, but his first bagel of the year. Certainly important, that glove save he made midway through the third, tremendous. He's got to be much better than he was in games 3, 4, and 5, and he was spectacular last night. Oh, and the penalty killing, guys. I'm sorry, there's so many different things. The penalty killing was outstanding. They won a couple of big face-offs. Eller was a big factor in that. So, again, a number of different things, but I think it's got to come from down the middle. in terms of how they get this done, game seven. I think, I don't know about you guys, I think they've got a pretty decent chance. I feel much better about it being on the road than at home.
Russell, appreciate the time as always, buddy. Hope we're talking about a Stanley Cup berth later. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas.
We'll see you, pal. There he goes. Thumbman, I want to talk about the Nationals, please. Bring in our friend Chelsea James of the Washington Post, who covers those very Washington Nationals. Chelsea, just a casual 19-year-old, lefty-on-lefty, opposite-field home run over 420 feet. Nothing to see here. Can you believe that happened?
I can't. I mean, we'd heard, and I'd even seen him in the minors, and it was impressive. But, you know, that was pretty remarkable. First pitch you saw, I mean, they said he was special, and at least, you know, so far, so good.
10 runs and 15 hits in the game. I don't think it's a coincidence. Guys really get a boost and a lift from moments like that. Take us into the clubhouse and into the dugout afterwards. It seemed like that was quite a galvanizing moment.
It was. I mean, not to mention the fact that they struggled to score 3 runs a game, period. So to have that sort of thrown up there right away is, you know, just basically helpful. But, yeah, it's always really nice, I think, when a kid comes up and does that. I think for this team where it's been one veteran after another, it's gone down. And, you know, they're pretty down about losing Howie Kendrick for the season. He's such a respected guy. So I think to see a kid come up and maybe show that, hey, it's not over. There's good to come. You know, all these injuries aren't going to be forever. I think it's a really important reminder. And obviously the Padres don't hurt in, you know, helping morale either.
I want to go into Mark Reynolds here. Another couple homers last night. The story, obviously, the headline is Juan Soto, the 19-year-old, but Reynolds, a sneaky pickup with 3 hits last night, including a couple bolts. Is he carving himself out a role here, Chelsea?
For sure. I mean, you know, the thing that's hard not to do is look ahead and say, wait, where do all these people fit, you know, when everyone comes back? But from what this team has seen, you know, that might not be a problem with future injuries, but yeah, I mean, he's proven that he can do exactly what they thought he could, which is hit homers. And, you know, he said last night, you know, the strikeouts are coming, I promise. But, you know, that's who he is, you know, high power, high strikeout guy, which, you know, you probably, you know, Rizzo really doesn't like from an everyday player, but I think is a really nice option for them off the bench. So that is a pickup that continues to loom large and probably will, you know, throughout the season.
Gio Gonzalez, 2 or fewer earned runs allowed in 9 of his 10 starts. Rotation is still hanging a bunch of zeros. Are they just so good in the rotation that that's going to keep them afloat regardless of how many injuries they have basically at this point?
Unless the injuries start to creep into the rotation, and then this is a very different team. But, yeah, I mean, I think what we've seen is real. I mean, Gio, he had a great year last year. It's painful to watch, and I think it's painful to him sometimes, but you know, the results end up the same way. So, you know, I think they are just that good. I think it's something we've taken for granted over the years. But, you know, one injury to one of the big guys, and it looks a lot different, I think.
Chelsea, you mentioned that starting rotation and how great it's been. It's been sensational. That's not hyperbole. They're the best in the National League. The concern, though, you touched on it, if injuries start to creep in there, you've got 4 guys that are leading the league in pitches thrown. Steven Strasburg through 115, Max Scherzer 121, and I think Tanner Roark through 117 over the weekend. This middle relief lack thereof in terms of depth, that's another manifestation of it. You get bullpen guys getting overused, Madsen, Kintzer and company. Well, the starting pitching is going deeper into ball games, and usually that's good, but that many pitches, that could scare you a little bit.
It can, and it would more if we hadn't seen them sort of last through 2 years of Dusty. You know, I think that this group is built for that. They really are. And you know, Max and Steven and, you know, Tanner Roark even, it's like, when are you pulling them out of these games? You know, they're not going to let you pull them out until they feel like they're done. And as for the high pitch counts this week, I mean, they got, I think, about 2 days of extra rest each on the front end, and they're going to get an extra day with the off day on the back end. So that was sort of a calculated time to push them. But it's always a concern, especially because they're not getting younger, you know, and you know Max knows how to take care of his body, and you know what you're getting with Strasburg. But, you know, Gio's a guy, you know, the velocity's down, and he's successful, but you wonder at some point, does he have to sort of just give out? Does Tanner, you know, start to battle something? It's reasonable to think that they can't be this good, this healthy, and this durable for long, but, you know, they have been so far. They have been for years, and I think it's something we don't really appreciate.
Nats, Padres continue their series tonight, a day game ahead of Game 7 for the Caps tomorrow. Nobody better take any pitches tomorrow with that 4:05 start, right?
You're not kidding. I think that could be a fairly quick game.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Chelsea mentioned in the bullpen, talking about some of the options in middle relief. Remember, Tim Collins, who made his team debut last night, was a really good reliever at one point in time in the American League and has been out of baseball for 3 years before his incredible comeback story. Authored a new chapter back in the major leagues last evening. He'll tell you his story. He'll be with us in 45 minutes on Grant and Danny.
Hey, guys. Danny Ruhier for Ford. How do you become America's best-selling brand? You introduce the all-new Ford EcoSport. That's how. And you'll surprise people with how much they can get in a small SUV. With standard features like a rear swing gate, auto start and stop, a rear view camera, two USB ports, two 12-volt power ports, roomy interior with 60/40-fold flat rear seats. That's the all-new Ford EcoSport. It's a big upgrade in a small package, and it's from Ford, America's best-selling brand. The Ford EcoSport is fun, capable, and nicely equipped, and starts at just under $20,000. Visit your local Ford dealer today or shop online at buyfordnow.com. Best-selling based on current year 2017 sales. MSRP, $19,995. Destination delivery fee excluded, plus government fees and taxes. Any finance charges, any dealer processing charge, any electronic filing charge, and any emission testing charges. The new Ford Echo.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. There's not a thing about last night's Caps shutout win that I would change. They were nearly perfect as a group. Every player, I'm sure, would have had a moment or two they'd want back, and there were sequences and plays in the game that were not executed flawlessly. But collectively, as a unit last night, in a shutout win 3-0, it was the perfect performance, and it started with more effort, more heart, more care, more desperation than we've seen them play with probably at any point all series. Here is the question I have, though, Danny, and I want you to tackle this for me. And maybe we can open up the phones as well at 800-636-1067 on this. 800-636-1067. Am I alone in being slightly concerned? And I don't know if worried is too strong of a word, but I think that's probably apropos here. Am I alone in being worried that they won't have anything left because they emptied it all out last night?
No, you're not alone.
They played so darn hard. They hit everything that moved. They were in the right spot all the time defensively. I don't think you can play 60 minutes, even 90% as hard as they did in Game 6, again in Game 7. But I wonder if that was the last-ditch effort where they kind of went into their reserve, poured it all out, and now in Game 7 that there's nothing left. That is my one concern, because they've outplayed Tampa Bay. I don't necessarily worry about them being able to be good enough to win a game. I just worry about how much they've got left in the tank.
It's a legitimate concern. It's, you know, you can't obviously go somehow like test the energy level of guys when they get to the arena on Wednesday. We won't know until the proof is in the pudding, you know, in the middle of the second period or after a particularly long shift where the puck is deep in the Capital zone. I mean, there are a couple moments you could tell last night where guys were just gassed and dragging, just, you know, whether it was, again, extended shift, credit to Tampa for keeping it deep or whatever the hell else. But that's probably the fear, because you go, and I think you said it very well earlier, Caps fans could watch that and go, where the hell was that in Game 3? Where the hell was that in Game 4? Or that you know, the couple lulls in Game number 5. You can't do that every time. If you could, you just would. But that was superhuman. That was everybody doing everything they possibly could, max effort all the time, hair on fire, as you said, emptying the tank. Can you recover after a plane flight to Tampa, you know, the morning skate on Wednesday, and then get after it Wednesday night in the exact same fashion? Because that's what it's going to take. You have to overcome the, you know, the 3-7s in game sevens. You have to overcome the fact that nobody's done this before. You have to overcome all of these different things. You let a 2-0 lead slip away. Tampa had won 3 straight. They were awesome at home in game number 5. You got to overcome all this stuff and the fact that Tampa's really good. You got to do a whole lot here. It's got to be more even than it was this past night, because
and you're not going to have more. But you can't play that game. Well, could you duplicate it? I would say it's very unlikely, but I don't know if they can. I don't know that they can play that well.
Me
twice.
Either. And that's kind of where that's my fear here. Is, you know, Tampa's going to get some bogus call. There's going to be some weird bounce. There's going to be a lead. You're going to have to overcome adversity.
What if they get the bogus call?
be very unhistoric. But I guess we're in a place that's...
So is this run.
Yeah, we're in a place that's not very historic.
To me, that is kind of the gift that is a Game 7 in a lot of ways. You give yourself a chance now. A 50% opportunity to get to the Stanley Cup and to be the team that gets the one bounce, to be the team that gets the ricochet goal off of a skate, to be the team that gets the blown call that goes in your favor. You've given yourself that opportunity for a toss-up shot. Who would not have signed up for, listening to my voice right now, the day of their first game of the season, a one-game opportunity in a Game 7 to get to the Stanley Cup? With all this team has been through, a goalie that got benched, TJ Oshie not being himself for over a month, a head coach who was supposed to have been fired around Thanksgiving who still doesn't have a contract, Ovechkin coming off of a year at 33 goals where people said his best days were behind him, Nicklas Backstrom playing with a broken finger, one of the guys who's supposed to be one of your top six forwards who needs to be great for you, having been benched multiple times in these playoffs. And here they are, still chipping away, still swinging the axe. They were down 2-0 against Columbus. You guys quit on them. Not all of you, but some of you. You know who you are. They come back and they win in six games. They're taking on the Penguins. That series gets even through four, and a bunch of you said, I'm done. Thanks. It was fun. They go down 3-2 on Saturday night, having lost three straight to the best seed in hockey, and you'd have thought they had been swept, and the number of comments made that I saw about how embarrassing and what a choke artist and how awful this team was, and they have no heart. Well, you forgot to tell them before Game 6 last night. It's been an amazing ride. Maybe this time they get the bounce.
So I picked them in 7 before the series started, but how we got here obviously influenced my thinking. I didn't think they'd play like they did last night. I was wrong about that. So obviously credit to them, as you alluded to. But before the series started, I thought they would go to Tampa, and there was something right about this team. This was no longer the overdog that assumed 25 jerseys thrown out on the ice will just get it done. This was a group that recognized that everybody has to pull the rope at the exact same time to win the tug of war. And the way that they played, beating Pittsburgh, getting past that demon, showed me that they were finally capable of that. Instead of just being befuddled as to, well, we outshot our opponent. Why didn't we win for the millionth straight year? This group looked different, and they showed again their mettle last night.
They absolutely did. 800-636-1067 is the number. Nick tweeted and said, what about Tampa Bay maybe having to use all their energy just to come back to get the 3-2 lead when
it's
they were down 0-2?
Take.
Okay. Well, even it out. Nobody's got energy then. I just think they didn't play quite as hard as the Caps and didn't exert as much effort and energy in Game 6. So maybe, you know, they'll be a little bit fresher. Plus, they get the adrenaline and the crowd behind them of being on home ice. But I'm not saying the Caps aren't going to win Game 7. What I'm saying is I think it's going to be more difficult, and I think that the game will not come as easily, and I don't think they can play the way they did. It might take a 4-3 overtime game. It might take coming back from down 1-0
something
or 2-0
crazy is going to happen,
or 3-1. I just don't think it's going to be as buttoned up and strong a showing as Game 6 was. Andrew in Stafford, how are you?
Good morning. Good afternoon, guys. How are you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Doing great, thanks.
I'm not worried like you are, Grant, about them coming out, I guess, and not having anything left. I think that they're going to come out, and unfortunately their desperation is going to be matched by Tampa's, because now it is do or die for both teams. I think I'm only a little bit worried if they don't have, if they can't respond to Tampa's desperation with the level that they brought on in Game 6. But I think throughout the series, the best the Caps have to offer is better than the best Tampa can bring.
If everyone's
so that's
at
why
ma-
I'm not
yeah, no, it's a good take.
Too
if
concerned.
If everyone's at maximum, the Caps are better.
I would
right?
sign up for that,
They've
absolutely.
Been better. But it's, I think your point, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it's hard to get to that red line level again.
Yeah, I just wonder how many times you can dip into that reserve.
Mm-hmm.
To me, last night, there is a NOS button at the end of your race when you're Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious, and you wait until the very end of the race and you hit it. And what if when you hit that NOS, the race still isn't over? I think the NOS button last night got them even with Brian O'Connor, and the two hoods of those cars are now dead even with about 3/4 of a mile to go. And what I'm saying is, do they still have a little bit of NOS left? I don't know that.
I think of last year, coming back from that 3-1 deficit against Pittsburgh to force that Game 7, right? That's what they did. They had to go to, they had to do everything humanly possible to get back in it. They had to do an incredible thing to force that game seven. And then game seven happened, and it just sort of looked like, not that they weren't trying, they clearly were, but they didn't have anything. They just didn't have it. They didn't have a fastball. They had to come out of the bullpen and get outs, and they couldn't. And they lost 2-0. Ovi had a shot that I think hit the top of Fleury's stick, the shaft part, not like the actual normal part of the stick. Backstrom had a great chance that he just sort of flicked off the side of the net. That was it. And Pittsburgh just did everything better than they were. And it was you had nothing left game. And I that's what I'm worried about here for game seven.
I feel great about the Caps' chances. I expect them to win in game seven. But if you're just jumping in the car, it's going to take a different kind of game because I don't think you're going to be able to just outwork Tampa Bay like you did in game six.
I hope so, man. I hope they do it.
800-636-1067 is the number on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. Are you worried about the energy level and whether or not they will have anything left in the tank after the brilliant game six performance? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This group is, I think, in the series we've had good stretches where we've duplicated a lot of the effort. We've done it through the series, our first series, the second series, now the third series, and we played, five overtime games, I think, in the first series. This group has a lot of energy, a lot of fortitude. They just do, and I'm really proud of how they've grown. The older guys as well as the young guys, and just as a team, as our team concept, we just keep, taking whatever challenge is thrown at us and build off of that. And this group doesn't waver. It just has a spirit about it, a strong spirit.
40 days now since the playoffs began. The hockey postseason, like the NBA, goes for a long, long time.
'Tis a bit of a grind, sir.
Normally, it's a couple of weeks into the rearview mirror already that the Capitals season was over. Not this time. They're playing on to game seven. They extended their season. They will get a 19th playoff game. It's coming up tomorrow night from Amalie Arena in Tampa, Florida. Against
the Lightning. 101st game of the year.
101 on the season. Mm. That just sounds exhausting
just
to think
many.
About.
I'm so tired.
They killed one dragon already this postseason. It was the Penguins in the second round. They couldn't get past Pittsburgh. They got another dragon in their way now that they have to try to slay. I comped this last night on TV, and I want to bounce this off you, to like some Scrooge-type plot here where they are meeting a bunch of their ghosts of their playoffs past.
Yeah.
You want to get to the Eastern Conference Final? Cool. You got to get by Pittsburgh, that boss at the end of the level you haven't been able to get by. Oh, you want to get to the Stanley Cup? You're going to have to win a Game 7 deep in the playoffs. If they got to the Stanley Cup, by the way, they would take on Marc-Andre Fleury and Net, who has been one of their Achilles heels and nemesis over the years with the Pittsburgh Penguins. That would be kind of like the third head of this three-headed monster.
Yeah, and George McPhee sitting in a shadowy room like Dr. Right. Claw just laughing.
But it is amazing how this thing lines up now. Where last round it was Pittsburgh. This round it's a Game 7. They're trying to exercise all their demons in one run. This has been such a blast.
It's the only way it's going to happen,
it's
honestly.
It's been so fun, man. As a Caps fan, you cannot ask for more than this. Get ready for tomorrow night in Game 7. Kevin in Arlington, what's up?
Kevin.
Hey, fellas. You know, I don't mean to keep going back to the well on this or oversimplifying things, but the reality is the biggest factor by far is the goaltending. In the domination that you saw from our Caps last night, we didn't feel comfortable until less than 96 seconds ago, and Oshie's putting in the empty netter to make it 3-0 because Vasilevsky was unbelievable, just as Holtby was. I really, honest to God, I go back from the start of their playoff runs 35 years ago, and when we've had goaltending, we had it with Kolzig, we're getting it now from Holtby, we've had a chance to go far.
if not all the way.
Thanks,
and
buddy.
It's just that. It is. I mean, go back to the miracle on ice in Lake Placid. We win because of Jimmy Craig in net.
Thank you, buddy. I don't know that Holtby outplayed Vasilevsky last night. Holtby was incredible. And Vasilevsky was on the wrong end of multiple goals, clearly. But he made some absurd saves.
That one two-on-one where Obi was back.
Yeah.
Man, that was massive.
But I'm talking about Vasilevsky.
Oh, sorry.
It should have been 5 or 6 to nothing.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I really believe that they could have scored and probably should have scored 3 or 4 different times when they didn't early. So I actually think Vasilevsky on a high-end save standpoint was more spectacular than Holtby. He allowed the couple of goals, and Holtby was perfect and didn't. But I think the Caps played a much better defensive game than Tampa Bay did.
I agree with that. That one on the doorstep with the cross-ice pass, and Kuznetsov was ramming it right there to the corner, and
yes.
He got his glove. You just go,
how do you save that?
What do you do? I mean, what are you supposed to do?
There were a couple of moments last night where I kind of threw my hands up and went, I'm not sure if they're going to score on this guy.
Yep.
I remember Neil Greenberg at one point tweeted last night, they'll never score on him again. And I thought, does feel a little bit like that. Brian Potomac, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, gentlemen. Just want to get right into it. You know, I feel like we're worrying about the wrong thing here because we're talking about two different teams, the teams of the past and the teams today. The team today of the Capitals, what's been defining them? The word resilience, which I guess you could reasonably say has kind of fallen by the wayside the last three games, but it's back. And quite honestly, if we had flipped the script, won game 5, lost game 6, I would grant you, I'd be a little bit nervous, but it worked out perfectly. We beat them up last night, and I mean, we beat them bad. Did you see JT Miller's head shaking when he was coming off from that collision? They are beat up, and I feel like we're going in with the momentum, and we're killing dragons left and right, because up until last night, we'd never even beaten the Tampa Bay Lightning at home ice. And
that's true. That's another dragon slayed, clearly. One thing they've always done is play well in game 6 is when facing elimination. In fact, the Caps, as of last night now, are 10-2 with Ovechkin and Backstrom, non-game 7 elimination games. So what does that mean? Well, basically, when they can extend a series further, they always tend to. It's the game 7 where you move on or you go home or they've had the problem. They're 4-11 all time in those 15 game 7s. But he's right about the physical nature of last night's game. The number of, not just hits, hits happen. Massive,
I mean,
body blow, off your skates type hits.
Mortal Kombat fatalities.
The Lightning have to be feeling that today. At an optional skate, I'll bet you they have a lower attendance than they typically would.
You guys take the option not to skate.
Hopefully some bumps and some bruises are still going to be a little bit sore for them come tomorrow. Dan Annandale, what's up?
What's up, Grant? What's up, Danny? How's it going?
Good, man.
Great.
I have to piggyback off what the previous caller just said. There's something different about this team. For once, we're not the 94-95 Magic, who had championships guaranteed to them down the road. We're not the sexy pick. We are the veteran Rockets with Olajuwon and Drexler, who might not get here again now. And they're going to empty the tank and put their careers on the line and make sure we get it done. There's just something different that I feel about this team. It's I like, we have to have more NOS, like you said. I love that analogy, by the way. But I just think that we are the veteran team now. We're not the sexy pick. We're not number one. And we just got to go in and get the work done because we might not be here again.
Yeah, we got to hit that button one more time. Thank you, Dan. By the way, Dan and Chris on Twitter have both shouted me out for my Fast and the Furious NOS reference. Nobody else got it or cared, but it means a lot that you two did. Sometimes you can do a show for two.
Yeah.
If Dan and Chris were alone and enjoying that, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Sometimes the best references or jokes aren't for everybody. That's
Matter
what makes
fact,
them special.
This was a great bit last night. This is a dumb story to tell, and I shouldn't, but whatever. Oh, by the way, 20 minutes from now, Tim Collins of the Nationals, who made his debut with the team last night, didn't pitch in the big leagues for 3 years, overcame 2 Tommy Johns, is going to be on the show. Awesome story, we'll tell you at 1 o'clock. So last night, do you ever watch the Junkies on NBC Sports Washington in the morning before you leave the house?
On occasion, yeah. Usually it's just so crazy, though.
I don't know if you even noticed this, but there's like these one-minute little segments that we do that we tape at night.
Yeah.
As like the Caps crew for the next day talking about the game or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're during the Junks commercial breaks. So we come into one of those little one-minute segments that we tape, and Brent Johnson, who's a former Caps goalie who I'm doing the show with, drops his pen like as soon as we come in, very obviously on the desk, and it makes a lot of noise. So I started, after he dropped his pen, he was like clearly embarrassed, right? So I just dropped my pen very obviously, and I was like, if dropping your pen is cool, consider me Miles Davis. And then I was like, you're not cool unless you drop your pen. And then I just made a big deal about how you have to drop a pen.
And nobody got it?
Well, not only did no one get it, but I did it knowing a tree was going to fall in the woods. And I was like, no one's ever going to comment on this. It's one of the funnier things I've done in a long time, if I can pat myself on the back. It's going to air this morning on the Junkies. I got one tweet, and it made my day.
I know the feeling.
That is all it took. One guy tweeted me. He's like, dude, I loved your Billy Madison shtick on the Geico morning update.
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard. That's perfect. That's a perfect reference.
Look, everyone. Brent dropped his pen.
That's excellent.
I loved it. And it took one.
It deserved more than that.
Tim Collins at 1 o'clock, Al Kokin at 1:30. We are busy. Let's wrap up your calls on Game 6 and Game 7. 800-636-1067. Do you think the Caps have anything left in the tank? You're listening to The Fan.
The type of game that he plays and what he brings, Devo has a real good skill set. He can be physical. He can play a checking role. He can move up in the lineup. He can be very useful playing left, right. You can use him in a lot of different areas. And I just think there's certain guys that their game translates more in the heavier games, the tight spaces. And I know he's excited. Everybody in our team is excited to every night to drop the puck and let's get at it, especially in the playoffs. And
that was Barry Trotz on Devontae Smith-Pelly, who's been so good this postseason. 4 goals already in less than 3 rounds for a guy that had barely double that in 70-plus games in the regular season. Devontae Smith-Pelly, or as my mom's autocorrect just called him when she texted me, Devontae Smith-Donkey.
Mm.
I don't think he's Devontae Smith-Donkey.
Listen, he can be. If we need him to be, he can do anything. That's what Barry Trotz was talking about. Whatever role you need DSD, I guess, to play, he will do that.
I also like the nickname Devontae Snipe-Selly, which was given to him by the folks over at Japers Rink.
Okay.
I'm in on that as well. I think I told you guys this, and correct me if I'm wrong. This, I believe, was when we went out for our celebratory show dinner after we got some good news very recently. I think, did I tell you I love watching gender reveal videos?
Yes. This is one of the strangest that we could play an Is It Weird for an entire show here.
Oh, you know what? We should play. Tomorrow, let's do that. Well, there's kind of a big thing happening.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
So we'll see if we want to do that
at
tomorrow.
At some point in the near future, we should do a Is It Weird gender reveal segment.
Yeah, where Grant went, basically, I would say the first 15 minutes of sit-down conversation was about royal wedding stuff, where I barely participated.
And so, you just checked out on that.
I said something wrong and then realized I shouldn't be talking at all. The next 10 minutes was dominated by how much Grant loves gender reveal videos and what goes down a YouTube rabbit hole where he just watches some pink balloon explode or a blue balloon explode, and that's
well,
it.
In fairness, if I correct you, the balloons don't explode that are pink or blue because we'd already know what the baby is. There is a powder in the balloons and or a powder in whatever the device being used, whether it be a golf ball which is being hit or a football which is being thrown.
The receptacle.
Exactly. So just
this
so
is our most modest receptacle, Tommy.
So I'm watching a gender reveal video right now. I'm following a gender reveal account, as you guys probably know.
I mean,
that is the weirdest
this
thing.
This is so weird.
This guy tosses a baseball to a dude, and he lets it go by, and it hits the back wall, and it explodes into blue dust.
Now, it's the softball guy, right, where he takes the pitch.
He takes it, but it's so high and inside, what's he supposed to do? That's on the wife.
You hit it.
But did you see the one where it hit the guy behind him right in the face?
Oh, boy, did I. And the blue dust was all over his face?
Yeah.
So I think it's the coolest thing ever. If I'm lucky enough to have a kid at some point, I decide that that's what I want to do, and at some point I have a child, I'm going to have a gender reveal party, or two or three, to be honest, based on the people that can't make it. Like, Thommy's going to have something to do the first night, so I'll come out to Gaithersburg, and I'll do one for him and Monica. I'm just going to do a gender reveal for every specific couple.
I can make a promise that I will be there for the original gender reveal because I know how important it is to you.
It's a big moment, Thommy. I just think they're the coolest thing in the world. But like Allison goes, oh, you shouldn't know. You should wait until the day.
That's also wrong.
Also wrong. By the way, if you want to do that, God bless you. I am having 3 gender reveal parties for 3 different collections of people that
That's
can't
wrong
be
too.
There. I think it's hilarious. I not even hilarious is the wrong word. I think it's amazing. I think also I want to see blue dust so badly. The pink, whatever.
And you also don't want your child to wear either yellow or green for the entire first year of its life.
It's a good point. You probably don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I don't get them.
You've had two chances, and you haven't done any gender reveal parties.
Yeah, and I somehow missed out. What I did is I heard the news in the sonogram room in dark, isolated, cold, as you're supposed to, and I screamed expletives and pumped my fist a lot because it's two boys. That was the news that I got. And I got terrible looks from everyone else.
Will you come to my gender reveal party if I have one?
I'd be conflicted here because, as Tom said, it's clearly very important.
No fun, Rue.
But
you've got to.
It's so important to you, but I object so thoroughly to the entire thing.
What do you hate about it?
It's fun.
It's not fun.
It is fun.
It's a
giant
waste of
time. It's a reason to get together and eat cake. And hang. You hate cake?
No, cake's delightful.
Okay. You want some cake and ice cream?
Yes.
Do you want to celebrate the birth of a child?
Well, that's not what you're doing.
I'm ushering into the planet.
You're a birth part. Now you get upset at when people have baby showers. You hate that.
I don't hate baby showers.
I think you actively said the word you hate baby
showers.
No. Very important distinction here, gentlemen. I hate boy and girls both have to come baby showers. Baby showers are for women to go to hang out with each other. I don't want to be invited. I don't want to be there. I don't want a man and woman baby shower. This is a new thing that is stupid. A gender reveal party is lovely.
It's not. It's nothing. It's a barely significant detail that has to do with the new life that you've created. So the baby shower is the number one seed. That's the most important thing to get all the gifts and get yourself ready to build this nest.
Tommy's in. The Dar?
I mean, I'm in because you seem really into it.
You're so excited about it that we all have to do it because it's clearly your project.
I'll even make you this promise.
But it's so dumb.
Dar paused.
Was there a hesitation?
No, I was going to say if you had a co-ed baby shower, I would go.
You paused.
We could all have a couple beers and hang out.
You would rather go to a co-ed baby shower than a gender reveal party?
Here's what I like to have. A dadchler party.
Well, either way, we get to have a couple beers and hang out, so I'd be cool with that.
We're going to Top Golf. It's called by the way, I'm not having a baby, just so we're all in the
And then you've got to hit a golf ball. That's how you're going to do it, is you're going to hit one of the powdered golf balls?
No. This is a dadchler party during the baby shower. So we're just hanging out. This is another day.
Oh, now you're on to something.
It's just another day where we go out and drink and
now,
hang out.
Now, this is good.
Yeah.
This is
so
good.
Dar wants to get beers. We're going to get beers. It's just not going to be with all the people talking about the baby all around us.
No.
But I will make you all this promise for the gender reveal party. If you cannot make it, I will buy an extra device, like golf ball or whatever, and I will come do a gender reveal at your house, Danny.
I'm just concerned about how you're going to one-up all of these gender reveals that you're seeing. Because they're pretty much on every Instagram account that you follow at this point. Any sort of aggregation website is showing all of these videos now. You are Mr. Gender Reveal Party, I would say. So you have to find a way. If you could somehow get like blue or pink powder inside of like Maui pineapple chicken, and then you could serve it.
I think that's a good idea.
I think you need the ball cannon involved.
Ooh.
I think the ball cannon should be involved.
That's not terrible. See, I don't know. I'd never considered the fact that I have to one-up or basically put on a big show.
You have to have the biggest one that anyone has had.
I was thinking like baseball bat and ball or just hit a golf ball.
Been done.
So many times.
Can't do this small. You got to do it big. Go big or go home.
I got time to think about it. It's going to a couple of years from
9 months.
You might have to rent a plane and have the plane fly over your house with crop dusting.
And rain toxic chemicals down.
That would be incredible. That has also been done. I know this because I've watched many hours of these things, and that has been done in the Iowa cornfield at one point. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Tim Collins is a brand-new lefty reliever with the Nationals. He's not new to Major League Baseball, though. He was a great relief pitcher before spending 3 years out of the sport, coming back from a couple Tommy John operations. He is scheduled to join us next right here on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.